Blog Talk Radio.
Peace of mind and ahead of the time. Good evening, folks. This is Bud Justice on the line. Please pardon the slight delay in this evening's show. You know, the Blog Talk utility is a great gift, and it's fantastic in every way, but on occasion we get a busy signal, and more people are finding out about the ways and means to get the word out, and as they do, they're utilizing the bandwidth and the radio waves. The radio waves are buzzing. They're buzzing with, the prospect of peace on earth, and peace of mind is a cornerstone to realizing anything that will bring about such a profound shift in the way that the human species is behaving today. So we chose that topic of interest, obviously, and so doing, we wanted to reflect on, again, the news in today's times, and New Oregonian and the Portland Tribune and what have you, and we titled the show Mental Health for Good Reason. Obviously, Bud needs a double dose of meditation, ranting and raving, and reflecting on my previous segments, and there is some fine tuning there to be had, and I'm the first to admit it. So, without further ado, let's just get right into it. We chose a topic of interest. For obvious reasons, there's been an escalation in violence as a result of an uncertain economic dynamic, and it was already difficult in times prior. Now it's even more so because the powers that be just won't lighten up. And obviously, they need a peace of mind as well. So we're going to roll into how we can offer an alternative to the prevailing sense of mental illness, which plagues us today, and which is resulting in violence, police shootings, and crime, and what have you. And I do our best to do my best to remain objective and identifying the issues, and move right into how we can play an active role in taking care of our own quality of insight or mental hygiene and ways and means for you to break from the root of the issue and the cause of all disequilibrium today, which is a mental frequency of scarcity and a belief system that time is money. This is the collapse of corporatocracy and the emergence of the sovereign state of affairs that sets the tone for a garden culture, global economic recovery, and the advent of the noosphere, with the birthing of the species Homo noospericus, and again deriving insight and the wellspring of inspiration as a result of the discovery of the law of time, the work of Dr. Jose Arguelles, who is long gone and now at the helm as the Battle of Voltron. And so there is a need to set the tone for the mental health channel, which will channel the insight of Alan Botan and the 28 Meditations on the Law of Time, which is forthcoming. We've been promising that for some time, but it's a great deal of responsibility and a great deal of balance that comes along with offering anything today. This segment could be titled Confessions of a Madman. As you can tell, I've been very busy at trying to establish quality of life that's befitting of my dreams and my destiny and my desire to live well, to live as a strong man, as a balanced individual, as an articulate artist and somebody who's well refined and worthy of good relations. And honestly, the confessions of a madman is most befitting, because Bud's riding the coattails of his merits, and he's been the Vagabond Prophet for over a decade now. Bud is overqualified, and he's undermined by those flatheads, those baldheads, those leaky individuals who stand in the way of intelligence, and in this case, we're talking about what it takes to be gainfully employed or self-employed. For those of you who have studied 12, 13, 14 years, you're having a difficult time finding a job that's befitting of your talent. And in the right, you know, across the board, people in general are finding themselves in debt with student loans, and if it's not a student loan, it's a home mortgage, and along with all of the other obligations that go along with the so-called good life, we've got our child support, health care, and everything else that goes along with today's model for living in the USA. So, confessions of a madman, riding the coattails of his merit. Still homeless, mind you. I could consider myself safe and secure, but considering the environment and the daily grind that most people are subject to, the mental disequilibrium of the work week, the state of affairs between people today who are torn with their obligations and the curse of that time is money, and knowing that most relationships are failing as a result of time, not enough time, or not enough money. But Justice is homeless to this day. Not that I don't have friends in high places and a number of couches to serve for a safe haven here and there. But needless to say, knowing the mind and articulating the mind is something that very few people have time for. To know your mind and take responsibility for it is to really sit with that organ and breathe and utilize your faculty of perception and whatever teachings or tools or skills or methods which you may have been exposed to discriminate between particular qualities of awareness and particular qualities of insight. And then, of course, once you do cover some ground and have an inventory of that dynamic, then you have the opportunity to articulate that mind. And today, very few people feel safe in articulating what they truly think and feel. And it's a sorry state of affairs and a sad thing to think about how reserved people are today when expressing themselves or articulating their mind's eye. And of course, two-thirds of our frustration is more than likely the result of the lack of creative self-expression and what have you. So I want to thank the MISAR programming department for making it okay for us to explore the other facets of awareness, and in those frames of thought, qualities of intuition and creative exploration and association that keep things interesting. And so, if you or someone you know is interested in articulating your mind's eye tonight, you can most certainly call in on the show. Know that you'll be joined by the likes of Tyrone Waters, who's a fellow activist and counselor and someone who serves in providing care and insight and counsel to individuals and to special interest groups. And I had the privilege of marching with Ty over the course of the summer with the Police and Accountability and Justice Ramblers down there at the Pioneer Square Courthouse. And, you know, Ty's got his own story to tell. I want to leave that up to him. But if you or someone like you has the courage to articulate your mind's eye tonight with this very special segment on mental illness or mental health, then you can call in at 347-934-0427. Again, that's 347-934-0427. And without further ado, let's bring Ty into the chat room and welcome him in. Ty, are you out there?
Yep. Good evening.
Good evening. Hey, there you are, and I want to thank you for your patience. You know, without further ado, diving right into it, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you do what you do?
Okay. Well, basically, I'm a 35-year-old African-American male. I live in the city of Portland, Multnomah County, Oregon. I'm someone that has a mental illness and schizophrenia, which I take medication for on a daily basis. And I also receive ongoing mental health care counseling as part of my mental health care. And I've had a few run-ins with the law where I have been locked up and jailed in both the county jail and the state hospital, and have had several incidents of being locked up. Also, I'm a holistic life coach in good standing with the Holistic Life Coaches Association, and I provide life coaching to people that require my services. And basically what I do with them is I help them come up with solutions to their problems that they may have.
Excellent, excellent. And knowing you've been engaging the city of Portland, there's a nonprofit out there that you've been working with. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes.
It's not a nonprofit, but a government agency.
It's actually a nonprofit, but it's funded by the federal government. And it's called Disability Rights Oregon, and what they protection and advocacy services to people with physical and mental disabilities, and they go as far as filing litigation lawsuits against entities that mistreat or abuse the mentally ill, and they try to correct wrongs that are happening out there to individuals with mental illness or physical disabilities.
And on that note, we've got the front page of the Portland Tribune, which was published last Thursday. This is January the 13th. It says that experts believe that police training is flawed and that the recent shootings of several mentally ill individuals raises questions about the training and program development of Portland police today, and they certainly are receiving their dose of interest, or they're certainly attracting a great deal of input and critique, and I hope they're doing something meaningful with blog segments and other facets of journalism like this. Ty, you said that you were basically challenged by an incident that occurred, and you ended up in a rubber room to reflect on how you were being treated. That they were actually trying to treat the condition of your condition after having been through a very challenging and maybe death-defying circumstance. You want to talk a little bit about that, or just move right into
sure.
Policing? Okay.
Basically, back in 2001, I was at my grandfather's residence, and I had a backpack, and inside of the backpack it had a BB gun, pellet gun, and the police came up to the residence. At the time, I didn't know why they were there, what for, and they started approaching me, and they could visually see the pellet gun because I had had it in the bag, but the bag was open and you could see it. They immediately drew their guns on me. And the next thing I know, there were probably 20, 30 police officers arriving on the scene, and they had all had their guns pointed at me. At one point, the police chief had ordered them to use beanbag rounds to fire at me, and there was an officer there on the scene that fired five live rounds of ammunition at me, and by the grace of God, the live rounds missed me, and I was hit in three places by beanbag rounds, but I was very close to losing my life at that time. And I was taken by ambulance to the emergency room, to the hospital down the street, which was Emmanuel Hospital. And I was placed in the emergency room in a side room and put into four-point restraints. They allowed my mom to come into the room to be with me, and they had my whole body covered up except for my head, so my mom was not able to see my actual physical injuries or the bleeding and what have you. And then I was in a lot of pain from the incident of being hit by the beanbag rounds, and they would only give me ibuprofen, and that was all that they gave me. And then the next day, sometime during the day, an officer came and took me down to the Justice Center for booking, and then I went to court and was arraigned, and they charged me with attempted aggravated murder. And from there, I was carted off to the state hospital for an evaluation where I was physically abused by staff, hospital staff there, and assaulted, and also physically and sexually assaulted by another inmate patient that was at the hospital. And I also want to add that during that time, up before that time and right up until now, to this very day, I've had my residence gone into and items tampered with, my medications, my food, other items tampered with, and messed with. Every vehicle that I've owned has been tampered with in some form or fashion. After I've gotten out of it and returned to it, things were not left the way that I had left them before I got out of the vehicle. So that's what's been going on. It's very real. My doctor validates that these things are very real and that they are actually happening, that it's not a part of my mental illness. There's something else going on. And I've lived next to several neighbors that are racist and do not want anyone black or African American living next to them. So they cause a ruckus. And I have been threatened by these individuals, and I've had to file numerous police reports, and the police have done nothing to them.
Well, you know, that's par for the program. It says here on the front page of the Portland Tribune that increasing violence and recent police shootings have attracted the interest of local and national experts. And according to these experts, they're accusing Portland's police training model to be off track, that their mental illness tactics and the way that they address people today is off track. And it's very clear that either Portland police are under a great deal of stress dealing with a very challenging demographic, which I find hard to believe, being that we definitely have outpaced San Francisco and Seattle with our social appeal, that there is a great deal of influx of folks coming from all over the country, but particularly the Midwest. And throughout the course of this year's campaign, we had got that one out of nine people were actually from Oregon, and the rest of the flux was occurring from outside of the state. So in this case, my thought about it is that Portland police either have too much time on their hands and are looking for a way to validate their salaries and their existence and the jobs that they do. And granted, we know that today's work week requires productivity, and in this case, Portland police are inclined to meet the needs of Portland today, and requires excessive force and extra policing that's unwarranted. We know that these individuals draw a salary of $30,000 to $50,000 a year, and while the rest of us are working two and three jobs, and if we're lucky at all to have a job, we know that government today and civil services today are doing a very good job at preserving their existence with economic change, and they're doing a very good job in insulating themselves from the hardships that most of us experience on a daily basis as a result of having to earn our bread in other ways and so on. So it's of no surprise that the escalation in the shootings have attracted the statistics in the inside of experts all over the country. Portland Bureau's crisis intervention team says that the officers are that they're training at the wrong time, and they have forgotten the principles that its founders borrowed from other successful programs. So they're at odds with the time, and they don't know what that is about. And of course, we know it's synchronicity and a quality of harmonic dynamic. And it goes on to say that that the Portland Police Department is outpacing San Francisco by three times. It's huge source stats. So this is not just in my head or yours, Ty. I know that what you've been through must be quite challenging to deal with. You know, once your nerves are fried, they can stay that way. And what I really want to get down to is ways and means that we can, through the reflection of the experience, amplify our awareness and perhaps our insight. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the work you're doing with the nonprofit and the detail behind the irony of the situation, which is basically a drastic decrease in funding for the mentally ill and for those who have been traumatized by...
Okay. Before I do that, I just want to mention real quickly that I am on the Board of Directors at Disability Rights Oregon. The other thing that I want people to be aware of really quickly is that after the incident that I was involved in, I did try to sue, and the Attorney General of the State of Oregon threatened to go after my disability benefits if I won the case against the state. So in essence, if I would have won or gotten any type of an award or settlement, I would not have received it because the Attorney General would have went after my other income. So I was forced to drop the case against the state. Also, I want to mention that there are a lot of hostile people in the community that do not understand what mental illness is, the symptoms, what it's all about, and that it can be treated with medication and people can live successfully. We have a lot of congressmen and women who have mental illness. My mom, Abel Gortley, is a former Oregon State Senator who suffers from depression and takes medication and has done very well in the state legislature for over 16 years until she retired most recently from the legislature. So we have senators, congressmen, and other individuals in government that do have mental illness. And why is the stigma not on them, but it's on the people in the community that have mental illness? I will touch on what we do at Disability Rights Oregon. If you need to have advocacy And if you're having a situation where you need legal assistance or advocacy, you can contact Disability Rights Oregon in the state of Oregon at 503-243-2081. And a receptionist will answer and take your intake information, and then they will have someone contact you and let you know if they'll be able to assist you or not. The other thing that I'd like to be able to say really quickly is that if you're in a crisis situation, you can contact the county crisis line in your county that you reside in the state of Oregon. And also, if you require additional assistance that is not an immediate crisis situation, you can contact your local county mental health and addiction services department or division, and they will assist you with getting services for mental health and addiction needs. And a lot of times those services are free, or you may be required to pay a small copay, or you may be required to be on the Oregon Health Plan to receive services from the county. But the services from Disability Rights Oregon are free. They get their funding from the federal government, and the federal government actually pays them to litigate cases on behalf of people with disabilities that are being mistreated or abused in the community or in jails, prisons, or hospital settings. We do a lot of advocacy work, and we will continue to do advocacy work. I'm going to continue doing advocacy work because of how I was mistreated and abused. And I know that the abuses and mistreatment are still here to this very day, and that other people are going through similar situations. And so that's why I continue to advocate for people. And I feel that it's important, and I don't believe that people should be mistreated or abused. And I also think it's very, very important that people in the community remove the stigma and prejudices that they have with people based on their mental illness or their ethnicity background, their homelessness situation, or their sexual orientation. So I think it all plays a role. And we need to break down the barriers and the discrimination and the harassment associated with the stigma surrounding mental illness and the other items that I mentioned.
That's all very clear, and you know, we're gonna have to talk about how you have learn to cope with your experience and you know, things that you do,
sure.
Ways and means for you to stay in balance and sane and fit mentally and physically. But before we do, I took the time to pull up the Oregonian today, the Oregonian Live, and one of the articles in January 18th. Issue is Portland officer that was shot during a traffic stop now works full time to help the mentally ill. And this is a rather interesting flip side to tonight's discussion that Portland officer Christopher Burley, who was shot at a traffic stop last May, was a gang enforcement officer, and rather than express anger towards his gunman, he felt that the community had actually let him down, which is ironic considering the drastic cuts in funding for the mentally ill, right? You're on a council that oversees some of those programs, Todd.
Right. I'm on.
What do you have to say about some of that?
I'm actually on the Multnomah County Mental Health and Addiction Services Committee, which oversees how spending is done for the Mental Health and Addiction Services for Multnomah County. And we also make policy recommendations on how we would like to see programs operated and how the funding is spent, as well as any other social, economic problems that may exist with regard to law enforcement, and also how people are treated when they call in to the county crisis line for assistance if they're in a crisis. The other thing that I'd like to mention is you wanted to ask me a question about what have I done to cope and what am I doing now to cope. The primary thing that I do is I take my medication every day. I follow up with my therapist on a regular basis, who I see about every 6 to 8 weeks. And I have written a book, and I also have a talking audio CD that is available at various locations throughout the city that tells my story. My story is for sale at Reflections Talking Drum Bookstore at 446 Northeast Killingsworth in Portland, Oregon. The CD is available at Music Millennium at 3158 East Burnside. And my book is also available in the zine section at Powell's Books at 10th and West Burnside. Both the CD and book are available at Reflections Talking Drum Bookstore Coffee Shop. I'd also like to mention that if you can't afford to purchase a copy of the book or the CD, you can go to my Facebook page and look up Tyrone Waters, and it talks about mental illness on my Facebook page. And there's a link that you can go to listen to my story in its entirety by audio. And if you can't do that, then you can also get online and go to YouTube and look up Tyrone Waters. They have various different subjects. I think you can look it up under mental illness, Delta Airlines, a few other pop-ups. But you'll be able to find it, and you can listen to my story in its entirety. I was also the victim of harassment by Delta Airlines and filed a lawsuit against them, which I did not prevail in. And so, you know, all of this plays a factor. Employment, not being able to have steady employment, and having that affect your livelihood and your mental faculties by not being able to support oneself. So all of these things play a factor. I feel that it's very important for people to, if they are taking medication, to take their medication, to follow up with their therapist, whoever that may be, on a regular basis, as well as diet and exercise and natural remedies such as multivitamins and what have you, and other vitamins and minerals can be taken to help enhance overall mental clarity and wellness. So I think it's just important to be well-rounded and deal with it from a well-rounded approach, as well as being able to have support from friends and family and making sure that they understand your symptoms, what they are, why you go through what you go through, and what have you. So basically, in my situation, I was subjected to a lot of turmoil and distress and harassment, and it had an effect on me mentally. And so that's why I have the condition that I have presently.
Hey, Brian, let me just interject there and just say that you've done, you know, an exceptional job in stabilizing, considering, you know, what you've been through. And in what little time we've spent together, I've been able to really see through your eyes from an ethnic perspective, especially when we marched downtown, you know, the things that... that you've gone through, that minorities go through today. But I want to expand the envelope of understanding when we talk about minorities today, because the ethnic minorities are far more at odds with the corporatocracy today. And even more so if you're considered to be blue-collar or self-employed or someone who is homeless or someone who may present a pocket full of change on a cloudy day at the coffee shop. But there's so many stigmas that are being overlaid today by the existing establishment. In this case, we had a very quick response to Portland Tribune's front page review of Portland police training with an immediate commitment by Officer Burley, Christopher Burley, who again was shot by a young man. And since then, Officer Burley formed a relationship with by Felicia Otis's son, Felicia Otis's mother. The son that shot Officer Burley, his mother, his name is Felicia Otis, and to pardon me, there's a fair amount of background noise that I'm dealing with here, and we're still looking to create a more professional approach to the type of reporting, but this is a guerrilla street view, and with a little help from our friends, we're going to take it to another level. But in this case, in any case, Burley 31 has volunteered to become part of a mobile crisis unit, and he's spearheading that unit, and he's working full-time identifying people in Central Precinct boundaries who suffer from mental illness and come into frequent contact with police. So sounds like they've got a real man on the job who's now responding with Project Respond, apparently an organization that works to connect folks with services who may have mental health issues or may just find themselves having a bad day or going through a stage of disequilibrium or reorganization. And we all have a tendency to lose our minds on occasion. Anyhow, in this case, Officer Burley has stepped up to bat, and apparently he's going to work in addressing the issue, and he's going to help bring to resolution ways and means for folks who are homeless or folks who are having a hard time or who have found themselves at odds with circumstances beyond their control to receive the assistance that they need. In this case, really intends to reduce bookings from mental illness and hopefully the number of police shootings in tandem. We'd also like to put it out there that everybody today, especially law enforcement, needs a formal program of mind training and self-reflective insight or tools or skills or even mentorship, which could be derived from any number of organizations today. But we do have a very active Buddhist community in Portland who have made it their lives, who have made it part of their daily personal practice to meditate formally. And we know that that today the human species is by and large insane in its ignorance. When we talk about the nature of mind, and in this case, you know, there are things that can be done and should be done and are being done, like through the Vipassana Center out of Ethel Washington at dhamma.org. You'll find teams of Vipassana meditators who are volunteering for service at facilities and prisons throughout Washington and Oregon, offering us programs and initiations and introductions into the sitting method of Vipassana Shamatha meditation. So along those lines, there is, you know, there are some things being done today, but there's so much more that needs to be done. And unfortunately, the establishment relies on the public and private sectors to provide solutions when they're the ones that have all the money. Well, needless to say, Ty, you've done a great deal in bringing to light your story. I want to thank you for that.
Sure.
Again,
and can I just comment real quickly? Part that I didn't address, and just real quickly, there are going to be approximately 6,000 people cut from the Oregon Health Plan with the current budget cuts that are coming this year. There's also going to be approximately 500 employees from the state hospital system statewide that could be losing their jobs. So it's very serious, and people need to contact their state legislators and government officials and let them know that they need to come up with solutions to this problem. It's very serious, and people are going to be without medication, without health care. And one of the things that I talked to the legislature about was if they're going to cut the Oregon Health Plan at all and cut people from it, they need to at least keep the prescription drug coverage benefit in place so that people can at least have a way to get their prescription drugs. And the other thing, real quickly, is I am going to floral design school. I hope to graduate sometime this year. And finally, the name of my book and CD, they both have the same title, is it's called You Would Be Paranoid Too If This Happened to You, A True Life Story by Tyrone Waters. So it's out there. You can pick it up at the locations that I mentioned earlier, or you can go on YouTube or Facebook and listen to it there.
Most excellent. Do you have a phone number, Ty, that people can reach you that you feel comfortable in sharing?
Sure. 503-933-3192. And if I don't answer, you can feel free to leave a message and I will get back to you.
if you leave a number for me to call you back at.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you again. This is Tyrone Waters. Is Tyrone Waters? Will be Tyrone Waters and Bud Justice on the line. This is guerrilla reporting from the streets of the City of Roses here in Portlandistan, Oregon. And this segment, Mental Health Today, will be, inshallah, followed up with a channel that will be specifically devoted to mental health and practices to harmonize body, soul, and mind. We want to make it perfectly clear that we have every intent of building a better model rather than focusing on the problems, but we have to identify those issues and we have to clarify details and hear the testimonies of those who have gone through circumstances such as these. And you know, if you're a homemaker or somebody who has extra time and you find yourself with the ways and means to observe from a distance and relax behind the boob tube and enjoy the finer things of life, then perhaps you'll devote a wee bit of your time to some facet of social service or some form of volunteerism that will alleviate issues like these. We know that today people, by and large, are strapped in terms of their financial obligations, but we can all find a little more time to take responsibility for our mind, and whether or not you're out and about serving others or whether you're at home serving yourself. You know, take the time and do something good and sit and reflect and come into a very clear sense of reality and how you can play a leading role in affairs today. We're going to sign off here, Ty, and leave you all with a track from the Brass Clouds soundtrack.
Okay, everyone should have at least one or more friends that are mentally ill.
If you're not keeping company with the freaks, you may be part of the problem. Hey, I love you, Ty. Thanks for coming on board. You know,
thank you.
Despite the clouds, there is a full moon out there tonight. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful lamp, and there's a great deal of magnetism towards it. So enjoy your evening. We'll see you soon. Good night.